Hello, and welcome to the Book Launch Show. My name is Valerie Francis, and this week, in the final bonus episode of the season, I'm chatting with one of Tim's certified book launch coaches, Sue Campbell. I know I'm pretty lucky to have access to Tim every week. I really do know that. And many of you have told me that this podcast is helping you with your own book marketing. But there are only so many hours in the day, and sooner or later, you're going to need to hire help. And when that time comes, you need to know what kinds of things a book marketer can and can't do for you, and what questions you need to ask before hiring them. That's what this episode is all about. Sue has 10 years' experience as a content marketer, and she's a novelist in her own right, so she knows what kinds of challenges we're facing. She was kind enough to sit down with me and chat about some of the things she does with clients and what we, as fiction writers, can expect when we work with a pro. Okay, let's jump into the episode and get started.
Welcome to the Book Launch Podcast, helping authors launch and market their books.
So today I have with me one of Tim's certified book launch coaches, Sue Campbell. How are you, Sue?
I'm great, Valerie. How are you today?
I'm best kind, thank you. I wanted to talk to one of the certified coaches because it can be really intimidating for an author who is sort of really busy just trying to learn how to write the book to then wrap their heads around marketing. And lots of times, well, for me anyway, and in my situation, but also with a lot of the writers that I know, we didn't even know what questions to ask someone who knew about book marketing. We didn't know if the person knew what they were talking about. We were just coming at it so cold that it was completely overwhelming. So I thought it might be kind of fun to just have a chat about what it's like to be a certified book launch coach, the types of things that you can do for writers when you're working with them, and all that kind of stuff. Sound good?
That sounds great.
All right. Well, let's start at the beginning. When you work with a client, when someone calls you and says they want to work with you, where do you start with them? What's step one?
So step one is just a free phone call, right? I just hop on the phone with someone. If they have time, they can send me any information in an email ahead of time about their particular situation. But I really just want to get on the phone and see where they're at with their book marketing. And then I always give them an overview of the connection system, right? So Tim's beautiful connection system, which should be your underlying strategy for everything. I walk them through to make sure we're on the same page about the kind of approach that we'd be taking if we work together. So that's step one. I get to know about them, their book, their career. What do they want out of the book, right? So not just about how many copies do you want to sell, you know, how do you want someone to feel at the end of the book? 5 years from now, what do you want the book to be doing? Where do you want it to be? Who do you want to have read it? All of those kinds of things. So that's how it usually starts.
When you explain the connection system to people, can you see the light bulb going on for them?
I can see the light bulb going on, but there usually is the process just of getting familiar with the pieces and how does what you've been doing or what you think you have to do, how does that fit in, right? So Valerie, I'm a great listener to the podcast. So in the early episodes, when you were trying to say, okay, this is content or this is outreach or this is permission. And Tim was like, no, you know, that's really common. And it's
woohoo!
And it just takes, you know, a little getting used to try to put things into the right bucket. Right. So, and what I like to tell people too, and maybe I'm jumping ahead here, is your permission, you're going to set it and forget it. Right? You're going to get it set up and then you're going to focus on other areas. You're going to be delivering content to the people on your list, but really what I want people to do is put most of their energy into outreach. And the content that you're developing should be going into your outreach channels because that's where the growth is.
All right. So building on that, when you deal with a writer, where do you start with them? Once you've had your consultation call, you start with the permission, like the getting the email list set up and organized on their site. Is that where you start?
It depends on the writer, but let's pretend just for the sake of helping somebody who's starting from ground zero. If we're doing one-on-one work together, it would be kind of similar to what you and Tim are doing, right? So we start with the permission every time, and I'll go through an audit and make sure that they have what they need to have. Do they have a website? Does it look decent, right? It doesn't have to be super big and fancy. It needs to look professional, but it can be very simple and spare, really. Do they have enough places where the sign-up form is appearing? Do they have a good sign-up incentive that's actually tied to the book that they're writing, right? Or the book that they're promoting or launching? So looking at all of those permission assets and making sure they're set up well, do they have a welcome email sequence that works, right? Can we improve any of these pieces? Can we tweak them so that they convert better or they, you know, speak to the right people more effectively?
Now, when you're talking to them about their website, because, you know, Sue, like I nearly went bananas working on mine because I had my site developed organically. I think I started it in 2011 and it was just a blog, right? And I sort of started to build pieces on it as I went along. So it was very much a patchwork quilt. It's a necessary evil. I kind of look at it like my taxes, right? I don't want to spend a lot of time at it. I just have to do it. And the sooner I can get to the point where I can offload it to someone else, the happier I am. So when Tim was working with me, I mean, the first thing we had to do was kind of untangle the mess that I had or the thing that didn't really fit together very well. We had to sort all that out first. And that took a while. So if someone is starting from scratch, you said a minute ago, it doesn't have to be a fancy website. It can be a bare bones site. What is bare bones to you?
Bare bones, and I can talk about it briefly, and then I actually do have an article about, you know, what do you actually need for your author website.
Okay.
So bare bones is you need a homepage, obviously. You need to have a mailing list set up. You need an about page about you as the author. You need a book description page. And you need to have a place where they can contact you, book you for events, that kind of thing. That's really about it. You can have a blog. You don't have to have a blog. Again, depending on what you're writing about, who you are as a person, how much you like blogging, these would be things that we would talk about to figure out if you should have a blog or not. But not every writer needs to.
Right. And these are things that Tim and I were trying to hash out as well. You know, I had a blog and I was used to blogging and I did it, you know, I did it consistently when I first started because that's all it was, right? It wasn't anything else. But I'm glad to hear you say that it isn't necessary when you start because this is, I keep coming back to the word overwhelming because that is the feeling I have all the time in this industry, right? You know, we start out and all we want to do is write stories. That's it. And right. We discover that that thing grows and grows. Well, it's not just about sitting down and writing a book. You got to learn how to write the book. And that requires all this big study. And then you got to learn how to sell the book. And that requires a whole bunch of big study and a whole bunch of stuff to learn. So it's not a learning curve. It's a vertical line straight up all the time. So I really like what you're saying, that you don't have to go from zero to 100 immediately. You can start with the bare essentials of a website and add to it as you go, right?
Yes. And the part of the problem with saying, I have to have a blog, I have to have a blog, is as a writer, you're going to make sure that blog is great and you're going to invest a bunch of time in writing blog posts that nobody's going to see because you haven't built an audience yet. So you're going to get exhausted on content that isn't really going to serve you because there's no one there to see it. So that's why I like to save your content juice for your outreach efforts, right? So go and write a guest post on somebody else's blog who already has the type of audience you want. Don't burn yourself out on your own site when there's nobody there. So, you know, craft beautiful talking points for the podcast that you're going to go on, or, you know, make videos that you can put out and distribute through someone else, or interviews where you're capturing someone else's audience, right? And otherwise, you're just going to burn out. You're not going to have time for marketing, and you're going to say it doesn't work, right? Because, oh, I did all that, and no one's finding me, right? Because you're not going out and doing the outreach. And that is the danger of websites and blogs, is that they're a great place to honor resistance, to give in to resistance, right?
That's right.
Because you can tell yourself you're doing something, But really, you are just wasting your energy because you're scared to go out and do the outreach.
So when someone approaches you, or if someone listening to this is thinking, you know, I would really love to work with a book launch coach, what kinds of questions should they be asking when they contact you or someone who can help them?
Well, first, you want to make sure that the person actually has an underlying strategy, right? That they're not just spouting all the latest tactics that you can just Google and read, right? So what's the underlying strategy that you're using? Why are you using it? How has it worked well for other clients? Those types of questions. The other thing I really want to get at, for most writers, most of us, and I'm a writer too, are B and C list writers, right? So most writers are not going to be able to hire me to do an entire book launch for them, right? And they certainly aren't going to be able to afford to hire Tim to do one. So what can that coach do for you that can get you further down the road for a decent amount of money? So when I trained under Tim, I was so excited to help fiction authors, right? And fiction authors aren't where the money is for book launch coaches, right?
Right.
It's the business books and the big launches of nonfiction that are the most lucrative, because those are the people who get the good advances and can reinvest that money into a book launch. I was very disappointed to hear this. So I was scratching my head trying to figure out, well, how can I also work with fiction authors? I love nonfiction too, but I'm a fiction writer. How can I help my people? So I put together like group coaching, right? So look for a way that you can leverage other people and you all pay in a little bit instead of writing one monster check yourself. And then you also can leverage the brain power of that group of people, and you get even more eyes on your stuff and more people, you know, saying, oh, well, have you thought of this as this person as an influencer? Like, you can really leverage hive mind and get the absolute most bang for your buck with group coaching. So that's what I started doing for fiction authors in particular, but nonfiction people are also in my group coaching. And talk to that coach and see how flexible they are with the type of writer you are and the type of time that you have and the type of marketing mindset that you have, right? So if they are just full steam ahead with all of these, you know, Amazon tactics and metadata and all this stuff, is that really a fit for you, right? You have to evaluate any coach that you're talking to one-to-one to see if you can work well together.
So as a coach, do you behave the way Tim is with me? Like, Tim isn't actually doing the work for me. He's saying, he's pointing me in a direction and saying, go forth, go do it and come back. Is that how you deal with your clients?
It depends on the client. So okay. I offer sort of from soup to nuts, right? So some of my clients, we just talk on the phone maybe once a month. And we say, what have you done since the last time we talked? What are the results you've gotten from it? Okay, now go do this. So very much like what you and Tim do. And then there are other folks who they've got a book launch coming up and they need help like actually executing on their big list of stuff that needs to happen. So I will also get down in the weeds and have all your passwords and be, you know, helping you with social and helping you create images in Canva, and along with all those strategy pieces, just helping you actually execute as well. And I think most of our coaches are probably like that, where they have a range of things that they'll do, and it depends on the client and the budget and some other factors.
One of the reasons I kept getting confused and overwhelmed is because a lot of what we're hearing in, you know, the community, just sort of listening to what others are saying as they're trying to learn. And a lot of what I was hearing, although I didn't understand it at the time, was about tactics. And it was a lot about gaming the system, and it was all about Amazon algorithm. And, you know, in sheer frustration one day, I said, well, who cares, right? Like, surely this cannot be a winning long-term strategy. And that was just my gut instinct speaking, because it certainly wasn't experience or knowledge. It was just gut instinct. It didn't make sense to me, because when I go into Amazon or Kobo or whomever, usually I go in looking for a particular author. Not, you know, I'm not going in there just to see what pops up or, you know, look at the also bots or that kind of stuff. I'm going in to look for someone in particular or a particular book. And when I came across Tim, he was one of the very few people who was talking about this bigger picture strategy. right? And, you know, since then I learned about Seth Godin, who is even more global because he's talking across all industries, whereas Tim is speaking to our industry. When you're dealing with clients, how many of them come in? Because when I'm talking to people, I feel a little bit like a lone wolf when I talk about bigger picture marketing strategies, because immediately people want to talk to me about how to tweak my keywords, how to fix my author page, how to, you know, I got to publish every 30 days or whatever. I don't even know if the publish every 30 days is still a thing. It used to be a thing. I just stopped listening to all that. So when clients come to you, is that sort of still the mindset, or have people sort of woken up a little bit and thought, okay, wait a minute, let's look at something a little more long-term, or are they still looking for the quick hits?
Well, it's kind of half and half, because a lot of the people who find me through Tim. So they're already, you know, drinking that particular wonderfully flavored Kool-Aid. But there are people who find me through other channels, and they're almost always fixated on social media, right? That I have to have a big Twitter following, or I have to start a Facebook group, or they're very social media focused, and they're somewhat concerned about Amazon keywords and things, but that's just almost too scary to even think about. So that's often where we're starting, and I have to start by debunking the idea that social media sells books, because it doesn't. So we start talking again. I bring them back to that big picture of the connection system. And why are we using the connection system? Well, because if someone reads your book, you want them to also read your next book, right? It's not just about this flash in the pan, I'm only writing one book. You need an audience of people who just love you more and more over time and want to read absolutely everything you put out. So how do you create that type of audience? Where do you find the people who you think are going to be that for you? And how do you get in front of them and then develop a relationship over time? Because the problem, and Tim talks about this all the time, the problem with chasing, you know, Amazon or whatever platform is going to be the next big one, is they can change their rules at any time. You're never going to be able to truly keep up. And if you're putting all of your eggs in the Amazon basket, and they change something on you, you're fucked. It's just plain and simple.
And that has happened to a lot of people.
It has happened to a lot, and it continues. And, you know, every 3 or 4 years, there's some, you know, big, huge upheaval in the indie world because people are exclusive with Amazon and that's all they have. So, but if you have your own list of thousands of people that you own and you can reach them at any time, that insulates you from a lot of that buffeting that happens in, you know, the distribution channels that we have access to.
If I think about this as marketing or sales, like resistance just walks right in the door and says, you know, I'm back and I'm just going to, that does not sound interesting or appealing to me at all. I mean, this is one of the reasons I had to actually get on a podcast with Tim Grawl to get my sorry self in this chair and get the work done, right?
Yes.
Now, that doesn't happen to me when I'm writing creatively. I mean, it happens now and then, I mean, obviously, but I can handle resistance on the creative side so much easier. When it comes to marketing, I welcome resistance walking in the door.
Right.
Like, oh, woohoo, I have marketing block. I don't have to market.
But Valerie, look at your own, the marketing that you have come up with and the content that you've come up with. You have already done this, right? Like, I'm a subscriber to your newsletter and I can see the book reviews that you're doing, right? I can see how those books might be feeding your creative process, and they're certainly feeding mine when I'm able to pick them up. And your writer's life column is just another, it's just another story, your storytelling there. So you've already internalized this concept, but you're still labeling marketing versus creative, and they don't have to be that separate.
Well, if I think about it, instead of thinking about this as a marketing blah, blah, really dry thing that I have to do, when it comes to the content and the outreach, I'm an extrovert. So
yeah,
for me, going out and meeting people is a lot of fun. So I'm looking at this not as a marketing activity, but as a way to just meet new people who are interested in the things that I'm interested in. I cannot, as an author, I believe, anyway, tell me what you think. I cannot abdicate my responsibility for promoting this book and for finding new readers.
Absolutely. And that's one of the things I have to tell my clients when they call and we start talking is like, I'm just really busy and I just need someone to do it for me. Well, I can't do it for you. It's just not going to work. You have to be your own cheerleader, right? You're the CEO of you. I think Stephen Pressfield talks about that too, right? Like me incorporated,
right?
You're the head of that company. And if you don't want to invest the time, none of your marketing is going to ring true, right? If I just create it all for you, it is going to feel so artificial. What I can do is help you channel the best voice and find the best audience, et cetera, and give you that sort of lens, because we get too close to our marketing. Just like we get too close to our own story and we need an editor, sometimes we get too close to our marketing and we can't see what's really going on. But if my client isn't willing to be down in the trenches and caring about that book and caring about making other people find it and care about it, it's just not going to work.
What is your advice and recommendation for people who are really pressed for time and are trying to balance working full-time with developing their career as an author, with maybe raising a family or looking after aging parents or whatever else it is they have going on in their lives? What would you say to someone like that?
Stop watching television and get off of Facebook. Right? Like Tim talks in Running Down a Dream, he talks about track your time. What are you actually doing every day? Right? Where are those places where you're just, you know, mindlessly doing something that is not making you any smarter or getting you any further towards your goal? Because that time is there. It really is. And I am a mother of two children. I have my own business. And I'm also a fiction writer. So I'm doing my own fiction writing and marketing sort of on the side. So I get it. But I think a lot of that is us lying to ourselves. And a lot of it is resistance. Because there is a lot that you can do. And that's why having a book launch coach is really helpful, because we can help you laser focus. So you're not just like spinning around, feeling overwhelmed and not knowing what is the next step to take. So we can help you be more efficient and use what time you have more efficiently. And we can give you ideas that you had never thought of because you don't live and breathe this like we do.
When you're dealing with clients who maybe are shyer about the outreach and about contacting someone to say, would you like to review my book or can I come on your podcast? How do you handle that? Like, do you do that or do they do that? Or does it depend on the situation you have with your client?
It can depend, but just to be as helpful as possible to the introverts out there listening, right, who are mm-hmm. doing it on their own. Again, the connection system gives you a way to make it meaningful and connection. So I live in a house full of introverts. My husband's an introvert. Both my kids are introverts. And they thrive in like one-on-one meaningful conversations, right? So they don't want to be at a cocktail party making small talk. But if they can have a deep, meaningful conversation with someone, then that's, you know, they love that. And then they'll go home and rest for a while.
Right.
So you can set it up that way for yourself. As a more introverted writer, you might want to be more thoughtful about who you're targeting, right? So you cast a narrower net, but you find those areas where the person that you want to talk to, you know you're going to have a great, worthwhile conversation. So you're willing to step outside your comfort zone to have that because it's going to be worth it. So I feel like the connection system is flexible enough to accommodate both introverts and extroverts.
So for writers who are starting their marketing activities, I mean, we kind of touched on this, where we did talk about it a bit already. It's looking at the bigger picture of marketing. And you know, Sean Coyne, when I was studying to be a certified editor, he taught me about the macro view and the micro view, right? Which has really helped me in a lot of areas because I'm a detail person. So I go right to the micro immediately. And Tim is a macro thinker. So we work together at StoryGrid. And I think that's one of the reasons we work so well together is because he's a real big picture thinker and I'm a detail person. So for me, I've had to learn to switch back and forth between macro and micro. And I've had to do that with my marketing as well. And I think the best place to start is this macro view, which is kind of what the connection system is, as opposed to the micro view of, you know, the ins and outs of how Amazon works. Would you agree?
Yes, definitely. You have to be able to switch back and forth. But when you, what I tell my coachees, especially in group coaching, is when you read an article online about what you're supposed to be doing for marketing, you're going to ask yourself, how does this fit into the connection system? Right? Does this make sense? And also, the great thing about Tim developing this is that he actually used data, right? He tested things and made sure that they worked instead of just sort of throwing spaghetti at the wall. So if you see, if you're in that detailed list of things that you should be doing, you need to know how they tie back to the macro. How does this serve your underlying strategy? And if you can't answer that question, you're probably wasting your time.
Sue, this has been fantastic. Thank you so much for joining me.
Oh, it was my pleasure. Thanks so much for having me.
So if anyone listening wants to find out more about you, where can they find you online?
They should go to pagesandplatforms.com and they should sign up for my mailing list. Yes. And the magnet is a free 45-minute phone call, and it's not a sales call. It's a, I'll brain dump on you for 45 minutes.
Awesome. Thanks so much.
All right, Valerie. Thanks.
That wraps it up for season one of the Book Launch Show podcast. Thanks so much for joining us and for following along as Tim coached me through the connection system, redesigning my website, and generally untangling the mess that I had created with my haphazard approach to book marketing. We'll be back soon with season two, when I start putting Tim's advice to practical use to grow my mailing list and generate sales. Don't forget to visit booklaunch.com to get more of Tim's marketing insight. He's got dozens and dozens of articles there to keep you busy until we return. If you want to learn more about working with one of his certified book launch coaches, you can find all that information at booklaunch.com/coaching. And if you want to find out more about me and what I do, you can visit my website, valeriefrances.ca. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next time.